You are listening to WRIR LP 97.3 FM Richmond Independent Radio. It is 6 a.m. Good morning. It's me, Enzo. That means it's time for the Monday Morning Breakfast Blend.
Thank you.
WRIR, LP 97.3, FM Richmond Independent Radio. That is the Poster Children and O for One. Before that, Richmond's very own Seymour's did Arcade Boy. From Washington, D.C., and actually even more specifically from Arlington, Virginia, and even more specifically, Wakefield High School from the 80s. That was Unrest and Suki, and of course, Pool kicked off this Monday morning's breakfast blend with Loon. And speaking of loons, good morning, it's me, Enzo, the Monday morning breakfast blend, 614 right now. A tad loopy this morning. Been up all night, as you know, I always am, but I got up even actually a whole lot earlier yesterday, or today, rather, for me. So yeah, I'm a bit loopy, and we had Frank Turner come in the studio yesterday afternoon, and we got to record some interviews with him, myself and Josh, of course, Sturgill, who does Mother's Milk every Monday night here on WRIR from 1 until 3 in the morning. Yeah, we did some interviews with him, and he even recorded some acoustic songs for us, a handful of them. One song so new, it doesn't even have a title yet. And he was just such a great guy, Frank Turner, such a gracious guy, such a very, you know, down-to-earth guy. And, you know, if you listen to this show at all, you know that I'm a huge Frank Turner fan. I try to play his music as much as I can without trying to overplay it. But, you know, and if you've listened to any of his music, you can see that he's a very down-to-earth guy, you know, wears his heart on his sleeve, and just very down-to-earth and very approachable and whatnot. And, of course, you know, he was exactly like that when we talked to him. So I'm going to be playing those interviews and those songs in the second hour of the Monday Morning Breakfast Blend. And yeah, and then, you know, and then afterwards he played a show right downstairs at the Camel, which was just dynamite, just a great show Frank Turner puts on. You know, and if you see any one of the YouTube clips, Frank Turner doing any stuff live just by himself acoustically, or, you know, at a basement show, at a house party, or even on stage, they're just fantastic. And I've even posted on the website, www.wrir.org. A couple of videos there. One of them is a proper video that he did for Photosynthesis, and the second video I posted is actually a live performance that he did at South by Southwest. So yeah, by all means, check those out. And yeah, as I said, we'll be playing those interviews in the second hour of the Monday Morning Breakfast Blend, along with those acoustic songs that he recorded just for us here. And before that, in the first hour, I'm just going to go balls to the wall. I mean, I have no idea what I'm going to play this morning, because I'm still just like loopy and high from the show. That's what I'm high from, just the show last night. So I have no idea what I'm gonna play, but I do know that I want to go balls to the wall. All right, is that okay with you? It better be okay with you. And if it's not, all I can tell you is buck up and stop your whining.
Yeah. questions about nothing out of nobody, damn it.
Young boys, playing burst of fireworks like a dandelion puff. Or a chandelier, comets and scissors, sparks. Two, three, our night made from mosquito bites, thick breath and eyes. In love.
Oh!
WRIR LP 97.3 FM Richmond Independent Radio, Mr. Jason Anderson, and a lovely little song called July 4th, 2004. Before that, Failure's Union did The Fall Man. Gaslight Anthem gave us the 59 sound, and Mojo Nixon, of course, kicked that set off with Buck Up and Stop Your Whining. Hell yeah. And that's the perfect song to play, too, on a Monday morning, because that's all everybody does on Monday morning is just bitch and moan. Buck up and stop your whining. It's Monday, for God's sakes. It happens every 7 days. Get over it. And it'll keep happening every 7 days. Accept it. I know. What can I tell you? Good morning. It's me, Enzo, the Monday Morning Breakfast Blend, 6:32 right now. And we'll get back into the music. And about another half hour or so, we'll kick in the interviews with Frank Turner and the live acoustic songs that he did for us here in the studio. First, let me tell you what kind of day we got looking ahead of us. Partly sunny early in the morning, then becoming cloudy. A chance of rain late this morning, and then rain likely this afternoon. The high's still going to make it up to the low 50s, but the chance of rain is about 70%. So, you know, pretty certain. Right now, it is a clear 34 degrees outside. And what time is it, did I say? 6:33. Is it too early to spank that thing? You know, and once again, I submit... Is it ever too early to spank that thing?
Wow! Yeah! It's time for an ass-spanking, paddywhacking good time! And I hope I've been not enough, because if I ain't been not enough, then you're really going to give it to me! Wow! Take it away! Beach club strip. Now my brain is just fried. Tonight I'm gonna get ripped. And if that ain't enough to keep me occupied, I think I'll find myself a cutie to tan the old. She spanks that thing. Spank that thing. Woo-hoo! Spank that thing. Oh yeah, you make it burn, oh you make it sting. Wow, how I love her when you spank. Or you might think that it's crude that this old baron likes his hiney spanker rude. And so I'll drop my pennies and you can have your way. Yeah, a hiney spanking conga line. Now that'll make my day. You spank that thing. Wow. Yeah. Come on. Spank that thing. Woohoo. Spank that thing. Oh yeah. You make it burn or you make it sting. Oh, I love it when you spank. Now I hope I've been not enough. And if I've been not enough,
master plan.
I'm a master man.
I'm a master man.
Pumping in the pumping any time I can.
I'm a master man.
I'm a master man.
With a master plan.
I'm a master man.
I'm a master man.
I'm rather be doing, 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 I'm rather be doing,
me one more time, baby. That's Raining Sound and a Break It. Before that, we heard the Pie Tasters doing some trifling. King Khan and the Shrines gave us the Stone Soup. Fishbone did the Nasty Man. And Vampire Beach Babes kicked that set off with Spank That Thang. Yeah. Good morning, it's me, Enzo, the Monday Morning Breakfast Blend. 6:52 right now. We're going to start playing the interviews that I did with Frank Turner, and also I'm going to play for you the one that Josh did. Josh Sturgill, of course, of Mother's Milk, which airs later on tonight, every Monday night from 1 until 3 in the morning. That debauchery drinking show that is Mother's Milk. God bless Josh. He's the one who set up, J.J. Flores, our music director here, along with it was a team effort between him and Josh and, of course, Dan from Salad Days. And, of course, Alan Coberly. Got to thank Alan Coberly for coming in and engineering the whole shebang. So, it was a team effort. WRIR team effort came together to do this thing. So, yeah, I'm going to play you the Josh's clip first. And then I'll play my clip with Frank Turner. And then we'll play the acoustic songs that he sang for us. But before we do all of that, let me tell you about this real quick. A special tax credit can help Virginia families and individuals make most of their money. Many low to middle income Virginians are eligible for the Earned Income Tax Credit, or EITC, which can amount to a refund of up to $5,657. It's righteous bucks, man. Those who earn up to $48,279 in 2009 are encouraged to apply by filing a federal income tax return and claiming the EITC credit. Those who qualify for the EITC credit are also eligible for free tax preparation. Volunteers will prepare tax returns at numerous sites. If you want more information on all of this, just give them a call at 1-800-906-9887. That's 1-800-906-9887. And if you need that number or any more of that information, just give me a call here in the studio. If you can't write down the number for whatever reason, you don't have a pen handy or whatever, just give me a call here in the studio, 804-649-9737, and I'll be more than happy to give you all that information and get your righteous bucks return from the federal income tax. See, we got your back here at WRIR. We always got your back, all right? And as I said, we will start with Josh's little bit, about 7 minutes that Josh interviewed Frank Turner, and then we'll do my clip. I interviewed him for about 9 minutes, and then we'll play the songs that he played for us acoustically, and he did one song off his Love Ire and Song CD. Then he did a Loudon Wainwright cover song. Then he did a song that's so new it doesn't even have a name yet. That's how new it is. And then of course he played my favorite song of last year. So we'll play all that though. But we will kick it off with Josh's. A little bit with Frank Turner. All right, this is WRIR, Richmond Independent Radio.
And I'm here with Frank Turner, who is awesome. Frank Turner, say hello.
Hi, it's very nice to be here. Thank you very much.
Thanks for dropping in.
My pleasure.
You'll be playing directly beneath us, actually, in a few short hours, which is awesome.
Yes, which I'm looking forward to. It's nice to do a headline show because I'm out with Foggin' Molly at the minute. And, support shows are fun, but it's nice to kind of be able to play some other songs as well. Do you know what I mean?
And you get to play a longer set to your own audience, people that came to see you, which is kind of nice.
Yeah, okay. People buy me more drinks when I'm on stage at headline shows than they do at support shows.
So what do you drink?
When I'm on stage, usually whatever gets put in my... The thing is, I started doing this at shows years ago, and it's become a kind of thing in the UK that people buy me shots while I'm playing. It's kind of bad because some shows, like, everyone gets really into it, and then I'm just incapacitated by about... two-thirds of the way through the set and just can't really speak or remember how to play or which way is up or any of that kind of thing. So I guess I probably shouldn't encourage it, but I like to drink PBR, actually.
Really?
We don't have that in the... We don't have PBR.
This is a PBR town. Know that.
I'm a PBR drink. Actually, PBR is sponsoring me. Basically, it's somebody in there, like... publicity department has decided that I'm the bee's knees. They sent me a fridge the other day, and I said, that's lovely. I don't really have anywhere to put a fridge. So it's still at Epitaph's office in LA. But I'm doing Coachella Festival this summer, and I think they're like paying for the house that I'm going to stay in and giving us free beer and throwing a party there. And I don't know, it's all a bit weird. anyway, I like drinking PBR and shooting Jameson. That's the way to do it, as told to me by Chuck Reagan.
Jameson's is a nice segue into something I was reading about on your blog.
Okay.
How was on your headlining shows? Do you get accused of being Irish as much?
No, not on the headline shows. I mean, the Foggy Molly crowd is very much the kind of American Irish crowd, which is fine, and they're good people, and it's a good fun time, and those guys know how to drink and have fun at shows, and I really appreciate that. I think it's great. Just one thing is just that I am English. You know, I wouldn't call myself British. I'd call myself English. And there are times when the 10th person comes up to the merch stand and says something like, "Are you sure you're not Irish?" And it's like, yeah, I am, actually. You know, and I don't know. There's a kind of sort of casual kind of anti-British thing. And I just find it kind of boring for the most part and slightly offensive occasionally. And the problem with it is that a lot of people who are very proudly American Irish don't seem to understand that the war in Ireland is between two factions of the Irish. It's not a war between the Irish and the British, and hasn't been since 1921. You know, people holding forth rabidly and forcefully about a subject in your face, which they're actually mistaken about, is kind of annoying. But it's a small gripe, and I shouldn't go on about it because, for the most part, it's a good time. And like I say, my view of a good show is loads of people just having a raucous good time, and everyone, not being kind of too uptight to dance and drink and make an ass out of themselves. And the Irish crowd certainly know how to do that, and I'm all about that. So it's a good tour.
Well, to segue into a slightly related but different and perhaps less politically charged thing, like you mentioned that they claim your music sounds Irish, and you're like, no, I do quite English traditional folk. I never thought you sounded Irish, but I didn't necessarily think you sounded English either, because I'm just not familiar with traditional English music.
Well, this is the thing.
What's the mark of a traditional English song?
Well, I say traditional English just there's certain kind of melodic structures and that kind of thing, which I quite consciously kind of refer to in my music. The thing about it is that traditional English music is not really very well known in England either. I didn't grow up with it. I didn't know about it until I started kind of actively researching it. And the problem with it is, without getting overly complicated about this, is that English national identity was subsumed for so long within Britishness, because what Britishness was essentially was the English kind of bullying the Welsh and the Scots. Welsh and Scottish and Irish kind of national identity and culture is much stronger than English one. But there is a lot of traditional English music out there, and I think it's great, and I've kind of gone to the trouble of looking into it, and it's just these awesome stories. I'm actually planning on doing an album of traditional English songs at some point, hopefully next year. I don't know, I'm just so busy at the moment. I'm trying to write a book at the moment and write my next album and do the traditional songs and tour the world all the time. So finding time is a challenge, but I'm planning on doing that. But yeah, I don't know, there's sort of, there's a song on my most recent album, Poetry of the Deed, called Sons of Liberty, and the melodic structure of the verse of that is based around a very old English song called Barbary Allen. So, you know, just stuff like that. It's kind of little nods to it. But it's funny because at the end of the day, English folk music isn't that far removed from other types of folk music from the British Isles. It's all intermingled over the years. But people know about Irish folk music, particularly at Foggy Molly shows, and they don't necessarily know about English music. And so they asked me whether I might actually be an undercover Irishman. But yeah, I don't know. I'm kind of, as I get older, I'm quite self-consciously English, you know, not in any chauvinistic way. I wouldn't say that the English are any better or worse than anybody else, but that's who I am. You know, and I'm interested in my own culture and in talking about it and involving myself in it, should we say.
So 10 years from now, we'll see Frank Turner in the same way we see the Pogues, say.
Well,
for Irish music in the 80s, that's the goal.
That would be amazing. I mean, that would be an ambitious statement for me to agree with that, right? But the thing is, there is a community of people in England who know about and listen to English folk music, but they're kind of a bit like the monks on Mount Athos. They see themselves as kind of guarding the sacred flame, and they're very sort of defensive and insular and precious about the whole thing. And to me, one of the great things about folk music is that it's alive and it's relevant to people's lives, and that it changes and it lives and it breathes. And I think it being this kind of sort of, you know, these old sort of librarian types kind of scribbling away in the dark about, you know, passing it down through the generations, they kind of miss the point. So, and the thing is, my crowd, both here and in the UK, is not really a traditional folk crowd particularly. So I've just figured that if I could, even if it's just making one record of that kind of music, it would pass that sound on to just so many more people who wouldn't hear it otherwise. And I think that would be a worthwhile use of my time.
Well, I look forward to hearing the record.
All right, like I say,
I hope it will have some drinking songs on it.
Yeah, well, you know what? There's a fantastic English traditional song that I was using as an intro tape on the last UK tour I did, called "Drink Old England Dry." And the general gist of the lyrics are: the French are coming to invade us because we have better beer than them, but their plan is essentially flawed because before they get here, we're going to drink all of it. And that is essentially the gist of the song. And then different verses go through different European nationalities who might be after our beer.
That's a strategy for victory.
Yeah, right, exactly. And it's like, they'll get here and we'll just be hammered. So that's definitely a song I'm looking at covering. So,
well, thanks very much for hanging out with me.
It's my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
All right. And that, of course, is Frank Turner being interviewed by our very own Josh Sturgill, who will probably have more of his interview later on tonight when he does his show, Mother's Milk, at 1 a.m. from 1 to 3 a.m. If you're up that late to listen to Josh, God bless you. It's definitely well worth staying up late to listen to. And if you can, by all means, you know, always a link on the podcast. He always podcasts the show as well. You are listening to WRIR, LP 97.3 FM Richmond Independent Radio. And we're going to do the little bit now that I interviewed with Frank Turner. And I just got him to talk more about, you know, the basic stuff, how he got into music and his influences and stuff like that. Thank you so much for coming down, and of course you're touring with Flogging Molly, but you're taking this day off just to do the show special for us, and you were mentioning to me earlier about why you like doing that.
Yeah, I don't really believe in days off. I think they're soft and weak and decadent.
for the week.
Yes, exactly. I don't know. Well, and I mean, the other thing as well is, without wanting to go too far into it, they're expensive as well. You know, you've got a day where you're paying your crew and your band and your van hire, and you're sitting around on your ass not doing anything.
Right.
And I don't know, and it's not every day that I'm in this part of the world, and if there's an opportunity to play another show in a different place to new people, then
exactly,
you know, I'm sold, I'm in. So we have one day off since I got here, which was about 10 days ago.
Wow.
And we don't have another one until March now, which is another 10 days or so. So that's a fair few shows on the trot.
But either way, a day off is a day that you're not bringing the music to the people.
Well, you know what, this is the thing. I want to be a musician, and to me, when I'm not playing guitar, I'm not being a musician. I mean, I'm enjoying our chat right now, but I don't consider this part of me being a musician. And so if I have a day where I don't get to play guitar, then I'm not doing what I want to do with my life. Do you see what I mean?
No, I completely get that. Yeah.
And I don't know, I find myself wandering around the corners of the music industry being shocked by the number of people I keep meeting who are technically professional musicians who seem to go out of the way to not play.
Yeah.
And it's like the reason why I'm the luckiest son of a gun in the world is because I get to do the thing that I really love all day. I get to play guitar and sing and to try and entertain a crowd by doing that. That's my three favorite things in the world right there.
And God bless you.
Yeah.
And God bless you.
I just get to do it all the time, and that's great. So, yes, I don't like days off.
All right. Well, so talking about being a musician, talk about a little bit about how you did get started and, you know, your influence, just the basic stuff.
I had a real road to Damascus thing with music. I wasn't really brought up in a very... My parents are kind of musical, but they believe that all music ended in 1910 or so. I wasn't really into kind of music. And then I was at a friend of mine's house, and his older brother had a Stranger in a Strange Land Iron Maiden poster on.
Yeah.
And it's like a zombie cowboy from the future.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was just like, right, I don't even know what that is, but I'm in. And then when I got told it was a band, it was like my mind blew a little bit.
Roughly how old?
I was 10.
Yeah.
And I became a metalhead for a while, and then Nirvana kind of steamrolled through and introduced me to punk rock. And then, you know, Epitaph Records, punk rock, kind of Offspring, Rancid, all that kind of thing. And then hardcore for a long time. And then I was in a touring hardcore band for a long time in the UK called Million Dead. And we were kind of cult, as in not very successful.
Well, yeah. But cult meaning rabid fan base, at least.
Yeah. They were pretty rabid people. But so we toured for like 4.5 years or something, and then ended up just wanting to kill each other a lot. And so we thought we'd break up before we did that.
Yeah.
And then I don't know, I just kind of got bored of the medium in a way. You know, I felt like I was just getting too old to convincingly play that style of music. I don't want to knock it as a style per se, but just personally, you know, I think you have to be angry in quite a specific way to pull off being in a good hardcore band. And I just, I'm not saying I'm not angry anymore, but it's just, I've kind of got a little bit more kind of cantankerous old uncle rather than kind of
Is it better to be angry or cantankerous?
Well, I don't seem to have a choice in this matter. I'm just getting cantankerous as I get older, rather than kind of enraged, I suppose. But I don't know. I just kind of, Million Dead was such a noisy band that I used to sit in the back of the van or the tour bus or whatever and listen. I just started listening to stuff like Springsteen's Nebraska like Josh Rouse's first couple of records. Yeah. And I grew up with Counting Crows and stuff as well.
Right.
My older sister was got me into that. Actually, that's worth discussing in terms of influence is
Counting Crows.
Well, basically, my older sister got into Counting Crows in '93 when their first record came out, and I must admit, at the time, I wasn't overly taken with it. I've changed my tune on that one now. I think that's one of the best albums ever made ever.
Yeah.
But she basically bullied me into learning how, because I was learning to play guitar at the time so that I could thrash.
Really?
And she bullied me into learning how to play all the songs of that album so that she could sing them with her friends.
Right.
And it's a good album to start with because it's all just open chords like G, C, and D and stuff. So I learned how to play all of those songs. And then me and my sister and our friends used to kind of sit around on holiday on the southwest of England and beaches and stuff, or in the pub or after the pub or whatever as we got older, and just sit around and sing. And I actually think that I hadn't really noticed this until quite recently when a friend of mine pointed it out. But I think that that's kind of what I'm trying to do now, is that on a bigger scale. One of the things I liked about it is that it wasn't like it was me playing and everyone just shut up and had to listen. It was like it was a communal activity, you know. It's like I was facilitating everybody else engaging in music by learning to play the songs on guitar, but it wasn't like you must now listen to me, I am the performer kind of thing. And that kind of like music being a kind of dialogue or a kind of transcendent communal activity is much, much more interesting to me than kind of this higher class of alien beings kind of deigning to kind of throw out some scraps of thoughts and art to the proletarian masses. You know, I hate that paradigm, you know. It's just, if David Bowie is an alien, then I don't care what he has to say because I'm not an alien, so I don't give it a toss.
No, perfect. No, well put. Well
anyway,
put.
And sorry, I'm ranting way off topic now.
No, not at all. I completely understand because, that first Counting Crows album just had these beautiful sing-along choruses.
Yeah, just, and it's just simple, really good songwriting.
Yeah, exactly.
Great lyrics. Actually, you know what? I've slightly Stalinistically edited my history there. That was the main one, but there were a couple of other albums that she made me learn as well.
Right.
And I'm kind of trying not to tell people about the fact I still know how to play and sing most of Jagged Little Pill. and even the Four Non-Blondes.
Oh, yes.
I'll blame that on my sister's taste in music.
All right, so if I buy you a shot of Jameson's tonight, will you play Hand in Your Pocket for me?
It's only got one chord in it anyway, but maybe. We'll see.
Well, it's interesting that you haven't mentioned people like Billy Bragg.
Well, you know, I kind of came to Billy Bragg pretty late, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
I was, when I first started playing solo, like the big three are Springsteen, Dylan, and Young.
Yeah.
And I was interested in doing that kind of thing, but I think that it was just the fact that I grew up with punk and learned how to play through punk and that kind of thing, and my formative musical experiences was being in a practice room where to get heard you had to yell.
Yeah.
And so I think that just by trying to sound like them but through a punk kind of prism, it kind of came out sounding like it did, which is fine. But it was funny. I actually, the first time I really properly checked out Billy Bragg was when loads of people started telling me they thought I sounded like Billy Bragg.
Well, so yeah, I mean that to me that was the obvious comparison. But
I'm fine with it. I think he's a great songwriter. You know, and we're both English. We both used to be in punk bands, and we both play solo stuff. So
right.
QED.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like I say, to me, I would actually say that if I had to choose one influence, Springsteen would have to be the biggest influence on me. I think he's just, he's one of the few examples I can think of as somebody who's as big as they should be. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, no,
like
he's it's funny because here in the States, only up until recently, Springsteen had a kind of a stigma about him in the more underground circles.
Yeah.
And I've noticed in England, it's the complete opposite. People like a Badly Drawn Boy have just cited him.
He never was quite as kind of culturally ubiquitous over there as he is here.
Yeah, maybe that was it.
Yeah, and so it was always a bit more like, to be in Springsteen, you had to be quite into Springsteen.
Yeah.
But I think the other thing as well is, and I'm entirely part and parcel of this, is that he's undergoing a kind of general rehabilitation in popular culture at the moment. He's pulling out of that kind of... Every artist with a kind of lifelong career has that kind of middle age period where they record albums called Tunnel of Love and everything's a bit like, really? Or or Human Touch or whatever. Yeah. But it's the same. I mean, you know, Neil Young did Trans, and it was like,
really?
Yeah. Do you have to? I mean, could you not? In fact, the only person who hasn't done that, and I'm watching like him like a hawk,
like
because
a hawk.
He's bucking the trend, is Nick Cave, who consistently gets better.
Huh.
And because even, you know, Dylan had his god awful phase.
Yeah.
Right. Nick Cave just keeps getting better.
Yeah. You don't see it happening with Nick? You don't see it?
I don't know. I hope not, because I think he's a genius. But I would be prepared to forgive him a couple of dub records. That's what I'm trying to say. Yeah.
Just like we've forgiven Springsteen and Young, of course.
Absolutely. Yes. Of course, man. Well, because, and then Young came back and started doing stuff like, you know, Prairie Wind or Living with War and stuff like that, and great records. And Springsteen did the Seeger Sessions, which is one of my favorites. Right. Springsteen records, so there is redemption in old age.
In old age and in music, as always.
Yeah, of course.
There you go. And that's, of course, Frank Turner being interviewed by yours truly yesterday afternoon here in the station. And now we're going to play the four acoustic songs that he played for us. And they were just dynamite. I mean, can I tell you, being in the studio while he was playing these songs acoustically, I was getting choked up and tears were welling in my eyes just because of how passionate he was and how he was playing them. And that passion is just so infectious. And just being in the same room while he was just doing that, it was just unbelievable. So I'm going to play those four songs for you now. And after each song, he's actually going to talk a little bit, just about maybe a minute each, about the songs that he's playing. But before I get into that, let me give you a quick look at the weather today. Let me get this out of the way real quick. Pretty much not looking too good. Partly sunny early this morning, then becoming cloudy. A chance of rain later on this morning. Rain likely this afternoon. The high is still going to make it up to the low 50s, and the chance of rain is about 70%. So, yeah, looks like we're going to get some rain. Right now, it is a mostly cloudy 34 degrees. All right, and we will start our set of Frank Turner acoustic live right here in the station yesterday afternoon. And he will start it off with a song off his Love, Ire, and Song CD called Substitute. This is Frank Turner live in acoustic, WRAR, Richmond Independent Radio.
First girl that I fell for was a fair and faithful fighter. She smoldered with a will to save the world. I did my best to help her. Yeah, I stood shoulder to shoulder on the front lines with my visionary girl. I wish that she had cared for me, but in the end her ideologies occupied the fortress of her heart. I wrote her 15 songs, but still we had to part. And if music was the food of love, then I'd be a fat romantic slob. But music, well, it's my substitute for love. Last girl that I loved, she was a low and lusty liar. She set my heart on fire, but she made me choke. Her beauty was a sight to see, but she didn't save it all for me. I found other fires by following the smoke. I wish that she had either cared for me or let me be, but she chased me from my mind and from my home. I wrote her 16 songs, but I ended up alone. And if love was really all that we need, then even all my singing is never gonna save me. Music, well, it's my substitute for love. Well, I've had many different girls inside my bed, but only one or two inside my head. These days I'll cuddle up to my guitar instead. But oh, what I would give not to stumble but to really fall in love. And I could substitute my singing for the sound of someone sleeping next to me.
That song kind of came out of an argument with a friend of mine who accused me of being a moaning so-and-so who never wrote love songs. So I attempted to write a love song.
Well, what's your definition of a love song? Well, I mean, all your songs are love songs, in my opinion, just love of different...
Yeah, this is... Well, you know what? I'm glad you think
romantic
that
love songs.
Yeah, romantic love songs.
There you go.
I proved him right in a way, do you know what I mean? And when that song was released, I had a difficult week because I basically got phone calls of pretty much everyone I'd ever slept with when that song came out. And they were all angry with me. Half of them were angry because they thought I had mentioned them in the song, and the other half were angry because they thought I hadn't mentioned them in the song. But I think I successfully played them all off against each other by, you know, just telling them the opposite of what they were annoyed about, and then running for the hills with my head down and changing my phone number.
Nice, nice.
So,
nice.
So yes, substitute. This is a Loudon Wainwright song called Motel Blues.
Town, the TV shuts off at 2. What kind of lonely rock and roller do? Oh, the bed's so warm and the sheets are clean. Your girlfriend said that you were 19, and the styrofoam ice bucket is full of ice. Come up to my motel room and treat me nice. I don't want to make no late night New York calls, and I don't want to stare at these ugly grass man walls. Chronologically, I know you're young. When you kissed me in the club, you bit my tongue. I write a song for you, I'll put it on my next LP. Come up to my motel room and sleep with me.
I'm a late comer to Loudon Wainwright. It's only been the last couple of years I've been aware of his stuff, and it's because a friend of mine, who's I sort of met as a fan, but we're kind of friends now, he sort of said to me, obviously, you're influenced by Loudon Wainwright. And I said, who? And next time I came back off tour, I actually had a package through my door that had like 3 Loudon Wainwright albums in, and a note that said, listen and learn.
Wow.
So I did, and I fell in love. And I'm actually in the middle of this project right now to try and take him out to dinner. Oh. I feel a bit like Luke Skywalker, and he's Yoda, and I'm scouring the universe trying to find him so he can teach me.
Wow! Any contact at all?
Yeah, you know what? I've got many tendrils working towards him. I've been in touch with 2 of his children now, and we're working on it. We're getting there.
Yes, that's how you get to him. You get to his children first.
Yeah,
of course, perfect.
But yeah, so it's like I've got them in my basement.
Yes,
I just think he's a phenomenal songwriter.
Yeah.
One of the things I really like about him as well is that he's kind of an entertainer. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I don't like the word artist. I don't I think it's a deeply pretentious word. I don't think that anybody can self-ascribe themselves as an artist. Mm-hmm. I think that's completely ridiculous. And I also think that ascribing anybody else as an artist before they're dead is slightly jumping the gun. Okay. You know, at the end of the day, I'm an entertainer. My job is, tonight I'm going to play a show, people are going to come and pay money, and my job is to make sure they have a good
time. They have a good time, right.
Yeah. And the thing is, in doing so, I may create something that may be art, and that can be discussed at a later date, but that's not...
After you're dead.
Yeah. Or, well, I mean, Born to Run, there's a great example. That album's just rock and roll. It's a good, it's great entertainment. Now the dust has settled, and it's, what, 30 years on or whatever, we can look at it and go, yes, that is definitely art. Yeah. But I don't think that at the time it was about art. It was about people getting out in New Jersey. I don't know, whatever. But so you know, it's like, but that's one of the things, that's definitely an attitude that I feel Loudon Wainwright has. Like, you listen to songs like Career Moves and stuff, and he just talks about how, you know, I love being up here. It's got me laid. I'm always surprised every time I get paid, you know. And it's about keeping a crowd happy. And within that, that's the noblest profession in the world. Because a lot of people see that as a kind of derogatory thing to be described as an entertainer. But I think that I'd much rather be an entertainer than an artist. Wow. You know, artist makes me think of people who lie around on chaise longues and togas, kind of like, you know, fopping about the place. Not interested in that at all.
Having dreams of pioneers and pirate ships and Bob Dylan, of people wrapped up tight in the things that will kill them, being trapped in a lift plunging straight to the bottom, of open seas and ways of life we've forgotten. I keep having dreams. In a bar in Exeter, I went back to her house and I slept beside her. She woke up screaming in the middle of the night, terrified of her own insides. Dreams of pirate ships and Patty Hearst, breaking through a life over-rehearsed. She can't remember which came first, the house, the hunger, or the terrible thirst. She keeps having dreams. On the worst days, when it feels like life weighs 10,000 tons, she's got her cowboy boots and her car keys on the bedstand, so she can always run. She could get up showering in half an hour, she'd be gone. I keep having dreams of things I need to do, of waking up and I'm following through. But it feels like I haven't slept at all, when I wake to a silence and she's facing the wall. Posters of Merlin and Hemingway, an antique compass for a sailor's escape. She says you just can't live this way, and I close my eyes and I never say I'm still having dreams. And on the worst days, when it feels like life weighs 10,000 tons, I sleep with my passport, one eye on the back door, so I can always run. I could get off showering in half an hour, I'd be gone. As long as I can always escape, I can sleep, I can dream. As long as I can fall asleep, I can dream, I can escape. Still having dreams. I'm still having dreams.
But it's a song about Bob Dylan and Patty Hearst.
Yeah, well, yes.
I do. You know what? It's true. It's really weird. I went through this really. In fact, I probably still am in the middle of a really hardcore Dylan phase at the moment. I do, as the song says, I keep having this recurring dream about Bob Dylan being in kind of, where was it? This one street in Memphis, and walking down a street in Memphis.
Beale Street?
No, it's just like some random back street that I spent an afternoon just like hanging out in. Six months ago. Yeah. I don't know, it's weird, but it figured that it was something to write a song about. So there you go.
How does Patty Hearst fit into all this?
Patty Hearst, you know, it's a song about escapism, but not in the dismissive sense of escapism as in, you know, the way it's often used, escapism as in, I think that having a kind of exit strategy is kind of an important thing in life. And Patty Hearst strikes me as somebody who took the ultimate kind of exit strategy in a way, do you know what I mean? So yeah.
Let's inherit the earth, cause no one else is taking it. Come on, do your worst before the moment's past. In bedrooms across England and all the Western world, there's posters and there's magazines, the music isn't ours. Cause we write love songs in C and we do politics in G. We sing songs about our friends in E minor. So tear down the stars now and take up your guitars. And come on folks and try this at home. Let's stop waiting around for someone to patronise us. Let's hammer out a sound that speaks to where we've been. So forget about the haircuts and the stupid skinny jeans, the stampies and the irony, the media fed scenes. Cause we write love songs in C and we do politics in G. We sing songs about our friends in E minor. So tear down the stars now and take up your guitars. And come on folks and try this at home. Because the only thing that punk rock should ever really mean is not sitting round and waiting for the lights to go green. And I'm thinking that you're better cause you're stood up on a stage. If you're all so goddamn different, then who cares what you have to say? Because there's no such thing as rock stars, there's just people who play music. And some of them are just like us and some of them are dicks. So quick, turn off your stereo, pick up that pen and paper. Yeah, you could do much better than some skinny half-ass English country singer. Cause we write love songs to C and we do politics in G. We sing songs about our friends in E minor. So tear down the stars now and take up your guitars. And come on folks and try this at home.
All right, and of course the final song, Try This at Home, which is a phenomenal song.
Thank you.
Made my personal 2009 probably top three songs.
Awesome, thank you very much.
And you know, speaking about how you'd rather be an entertainer as opposed to an artist.
Yeah, I think that's all part and parcel of it. And just, I don't know, you know, I kind of, it's funny, like in the UK in the last like 5 years, there was a really strong kind of indie guitar rock scene that kind of, you know, took in like sort of the Libertines and Arctic Monkeys and stuff like
that.
And it produced some cool bands and it produced an awful lot of dross, as every scene does. Sure. And the funny thing for me is that was never particularly my taste, that kind of music. But one of my best friends is a promoter who was like right there when the Libertines kicked off. He did loads of stuff, Baby Shambles, and he does like club nights and stuff. And I used to go down and help out at his club nights. So I saw an awful lot of that scene where it kind of, the whole arc of it as it kind of exploded as a scene, as it was the absolute biggest thing in the UK, and now also as it's kind of like petered out as well, from pretty kind of close up. And it was quite interesting just being an observer on it, because I wasn't particularly emotionally attached to the music, really. Mm. A couple of really good bands, and Alex Turner is a great lyricist, you know. But I didn't really care about the Kaiser Chiefs, you know. But it was just interesting watching the way that some of those people behaved, and as well as because a lot of them were people who don't have any kind of background with punk rock. Yeah. Not that they necessarily should, but it was just seeing the hurry that some of these 19-year-old kids would show up just in a hurry to be an arsehole to everybody.
Yeah.
And it just really focused my mind about what I think about the whether or not there's any different rules for musicians, and there aren't, full stop, end of story. And just, I don't know, just that the whole kind of rock and roll myth, I hate that. I don't like rock and roll mythology on that level. Mm-hmm. And you know, pulling aside the curtain is something I'm very interested in doing, you know. And so yeah, I don't know. It's just my kind of me getting it off my chest about I don't like. My mum brought me up to be polite to people, do you know what I mean?
Right,
and she was right. Yeah. And I don't see that just because I play guitar for half an hour, every evening, that I get a right to treat other people like dirt. It's not the case.
Right. Well, no, I completely agree. And probably that's probably what makes your music so endearing to me, is that sincerity that comes out through it, you know?
Yeah, I just, like I said earlier, if music's just a monologue, then it's uninteresting.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
It's much more... I don't want to just talk at someone and then leave. Yeah. You know, I want to have a beer and drink. Yeah. And it sounds like this interview is making me sound like an alcoholic.
cheers.
Cheers. Yeah. Salute. But, you know, just hang out and have a good time. And I mean, one of my favorite things about touring is there's the old cliche, which is true, that you travel around the world and you see car parks and dressing rooms.
Yeah.
But the flip side that never gets mentioned in the cliche is that you meet people all over the world and you get to hang out and hear about life everywhere in the world. And, you know, I've been to Russia on tour and I've been all around the States, you know, and, I'm going to Australia for the first time this year.
Nice.
And, you know, it's just great hanging out and seeing, talking to people, having a good time.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
That's my one of my biggest job perks, should I say.
Well, again, you know, like I'm saying, that really shows through your music, and I think that's why you know, your music connects to so many people.
You. It's working.
Yes, obviously, it's working. Well, thank you so much for coming down and taking the time to come here to the studio.
Anytime.
And talk to us and play some music for us. And, you know, looking so forward to tonight.
Tonight will be fun. And next time I'm in Richmond, I'll swing by again.
Yes, definitely.
We'll shake that.
Yes. And last night was definitely fun. He did a dynamite show. And, you know, I was there along with Josh, of course, who does Mother's Milk. Dan was there from Salad Days. Paul was there from Paul's Boutique. Fontaine was there from What the Fontaine? Tommy was there from Dog Germs, and yeah, he was just dynamite. Great band backing him up, and yeah, just a good time. Josh was buying him shots. I bought him some shots. And we'll get back into the music in just 1 second, and we'll kick it off with in Josh's part of the interview, if you were remembering. He name checked Chuck Reagan, who told him how to drink PBR and Jameson's. And according to Chuck Reagan, that's how you're supposed to drink. So Frank Turner completely took him up on that, apparently. And so we'll play a Chuck Reagan track that, if you remember, and if you do, God bless you for remembering, was on my 2007 Best Of show. We'll play that Chuck Reagan song in just 1 second. Right after I tell you, the Richmond Bluegrass Band East of Afton will host a free jam from noon until midnight on February the 27th at Grandpa Eddie's Alabama's Ribs and Barbecue on Three Chopped Road. Now, there is no cover charge, but contributions to the Richmond Fisher House are welcome. Fisher House provides free room and board to families of American soldiers recuperating at McGuire Veterans Hospital. The jam is open to anyone. If you got questions, just give Brian Sullivan a call at 804-929-4102. That's 804-929-4102. All right. And as I promised, we'll get back to the music with Chuck Reagan with a track that made my Best of 2007 show. And we will do this in honor of Mr. Frank Turner and PBR and Jameson's. This is WRIR, Richmond Independent Radio.
Decides to stay numb. It's an industry standard.